In many ways, one of the greatest blessings, and in some ways the greatest cursings that God ever gave us was the gift of memory. Now, he may have given you guys a little bit more in that gift than me, because my memory is famously horrible. I was living with a roommate at college once, and about 9 weeks into the semester of living with this young man, whose nickname was Bones, because he was so skinny, he was a runner, I saw an article in the paper by a fellow named Brian Jones, and I took the paper to him, and I said, "I didn't know that you wrote for the student paper." And he said, "What?" I said, "The student paper, you wrote this article." He said, "My name's Dan James." I said, "I see, okay." And funnily enough, it wasn't a mental slip. I thought his name was Brian for weeks. And luckily, his nickname was Bones, that's what we all called him, and so he hadn't caught on, but I had thought his name was Brian Jones for weeks. My memory, very, very weak, let's say. But in certain ways, my memory is strong, and I think that's probably true for each one of us. Each one of us has things that we remember very strongly. Sometimes that's linked to specific smells sometimes, as we heard earlier. Sometimes it's related to certain sounds or certain faces. We see somebody we haven't seen in a long time, and boy, the memories rush back. It's like we were there. And sometimes those memories are related either to very happy times or very sad times. I think my two earliest memories are, number one, I probably would have been about 3 years old. The feeling, all I remember is the feeling of my front teeth meeting the step at Sabathany Community Center where we met before coming to this church. I slipped on the ice, and I remember because it was up in my nose. I could feel it in my nose, the vibration from hitting it. I still remember that. And even more terrible, about a year later, the memory, even far more clear, the memory of coming downstairs, dressed in pajamas, at about 4.5 years old, and seeing my grandfather, who I loved, he was my bumpa, I loved him, but seeing him in twins garb ready to go to the 1987 World Series, and I still remember thinking, he lives in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. He lives 3 hours away. If he really cared about the Minnesota Twins, he would live down here. It's not fair that I have to go to bed at the bedtime early, and bumpa gets to go to the game. It's not fair. Two earliest memories tied to, you know, very traumatic events for young James. Memory is an essential for the Christian. We're told to remember a variety of things throughout Scripture. Remember our Creator in the days of our youth. We're told to remember various commandments. We're told to remember the poor. We're told to remember the persecuted. We're told to remember a whole variety of things because remembrance is essential. Remembrance is essential for humility. We're told to remember our former estate in a couple of areas. If we remember ourselves pre-Jesus Christ as basically good, then we're not going to be properly humbled, and we're not going to be properly grateful for the redemption that we have received. We are not only called to remember our former estate, we're called to remember the Lord's sacrifice. We'll be celebrating that a little bit later. We're called to remember a variety of things. Remembrance is often tied to gratitude. It's often tied to the remembrance of the great things. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. That's something that we ought to remember. And that's why when we see something like this, just a little phrase that stuck out to me in this verse, I think if we can remember a time in which something that we care about has been forgotten by somebody, some in a way that is painful, a way that demonstrates a lack of proper care, we can really, I think, understand the position. We can almost hear the tone of Jesus Christ's words here in Mark chapter 8. We see here in verse 18, at the end of verse 18, "And do ye not remember?" We can almost hear that tone Do ye not remember? Now, Jesus was, of course, speaking to his disciples about a miracle that had been done very shortly before, probably a matter of days, maybe even less, maybe even a day. A massive miracle, a miracle that people would be talking about, I'm sure, in that area for years. But they hadn't understood it, so they didn't remember it. Now, when we talk tonight, what we're going to talk about is our memory of the works of God. Because it's essential. It's essential. I once went to the Red Sea Mission Team Conference with my father. I believe this was probably when I heard this. It may have been some other time, but I believe it was at a Red Sea Mission Conference. And there was a presenter who said, when you are ministering to people who do not believe, the best thing that you can do is say your testimony. Specifically, he was talking about people who believed in a different God. Because people who believe in a different God, Muslims, Mormons, you go Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll argue with you over theology forever. Boy, they'll love to get into an intellectual exercise. But God has not done great things for them. Their God does not exist. God has not done great things for them, and so they are powerless in the face of a testimony. When we are able to say, this is what God has done for me, when we are able to say, this is the way that God has changed my life, this is the way that God has blessed me, they are unable to deal with it. And therefore, it's essential that we remember. It's essential that we are not in a position like the disciples to be asked of God, and do ye not remember? So before we get into this subject, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for bringing us all here today. Lord, we know that's only of your blessing that we're even here today. Lord, we think of all the blessings that we tend to take for granted. And yet, Lord, we thank you most of all for these particular blessings, these special blessings that you give to us, your disciples. Lord, I pray that we would be alert to them and alive to them, that we would be awake to them, Lord, that we would be not only noticing them and being grateful for them in the moment, but Lord, that even afterwards we would be remembering them and analyzing them and thinking about them, Lord, that we might be able on a weekly basis, if so asked, what is God doing in your life? What has God done for you in the last week? To be able to answer with power. We pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, so this story is interesting because there are two main groups of people. There are two main groups of people, I would say, in this story. Now, there's a little interlude here with the Pharisees, and I think this is important. But we'll get to this in a second. We're talking about the feeding of the 4,000. And there's two groups here. There's the multitude, and there are the disciples. The multitude and the disciples share one commonality. They're hungry. There's not much food there. Now, one thing that it's important to remember with blessings, the blessings of God, is that God's provision for us, sometimes we can over-spiritualize it. And this is where we become in the danger of saying, go in peace, be warm and filled. We can fall into that. We can use it as an excuse. I saw on Facebook recently a person I know who's a waitress who showed a picture of the tip she had received. And the tip she had received on this $38 bill at this restaurant was a tract. That's it. And I saw that and I said, what a terrible witness. I mean, talk about be warmed and filled. This is not silver and gold have I none. You just spent $38 on food. And no tip except a tract. What's a person who's unsaved going to think of that? That person is going to say, this person has no love in them. This person has no generosity in them. What's that person going to think about the generosity of the Lord you serve if you do something like that? Well, we know that God is not only concerned about our spiritual state, Because what do we see here? Jesus called his disciples and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. Okay? Jesus was concerned about the physical needs of the multitude. And so he desired to provide for them. The first thing we need to understand is that God makes provision for us physically. Now, we all understand that. And as I'll get to, sometimes that's the blessing, that's the provision that we stay focused on. That's the blessing and provision that we remember. That's the blessing and provision that we ask for. And it's the less important provision. And we know that because we know my God shall supply all your needs. But God doesn't always supply what is needful for life to continue. Because sometimes a Christian needs to die. Sometimes a Christian needs to be hungry. Sometimes a Christian needs to be sick. Sometimes a Christian needs to be alone. Sometimes a Christian needs those things. We know that my God shall supply all our needs. So if we do not receive some of those areas, some of those things in those areas, we know it's not because God is unable to supply those things. It's because lack is what we need in those situations. And yet in many other situations, we're able to see, no, God has provided for us. I hope that each one of us is able to look back on times in which God has mightily provided for us in physical areas. We know that that's something that's important to God because that was something that was important to Jesus. Jesus didn't simply teach. Jesus also met physical needs. Jesus went and healed. Jesus went and provided food. Jesus went from town to town and he met needs. Okay, so he did meet physical needs. This was something that was important to Jesus and something that I think each one of us can think of. Each one of us can think of perhaps an area in which we needed a job. We needed a job to provide for ourselves, maybe for our families, and we prayed, we sought the Lord, and God brought us a job. I can think of in my life how many times I've sought the Lord's leading, and God's provided it. God's provided it in a college, I only got into one school. In a law school, I only got into one law school. In a job, I only got one job. Guess what? God has provided for me in a physical way. And we understand that all good things that we have come from God. And that's why we're grateful. That's why we're thankful. I'm not suggesting when I get further into this message that we ought not to be remembering these things. I think it's essential. I think it's very important. I think when we pray before meals, it demonstrates not just to our own spirit, a spirit of humility, a spirit of I did not. Even though the account on my bank account says James Magnuson, this is not from me. This food that I've purchased, it's not from me. It's from God. That's why we are thankful to him for that meal, and that's why we express it by praying before meals. But do you know what? There's a special blessing that is for the people who are the children of God. We memorized a verse this morning about loving God. Okay? We memorized in the last couple of weeks ago, if you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. And we also read something here in verse 21 of John chapter 14. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Well, I talked to the children this morning. I said, do you know what's interesting? There's a different kind of love that Jesus has for his children than he has for everybody else. And he wants to feed, he loves the world. That's why he gave his son. But that special love that's mentioned here of keeping my commandments, it results in special blessings. The same way that a parent may love all the children at church, but they love their own children most. They make special provision for their own children. The same way God gives us the best blessings, the blessings that don't go to everybody else. Because what do we see here? There was a great blessing Guess what? The disciples who shared in that blessing should have been thankful. I'm sure that they were thankful. But this blessing went to 4,000. And we know that God gives his rain on the just and the unjust. It was a beautiful day today. I hope you, like me, when you went outside and felt that temperature, you were grateful to God. You went outside and you said, boy, this is lovely. This feels great. You know what? Do you know who else it felt great to? People who don't know about God. They don't know God. They have no relationship with him. And maybe all they felt was concern about the future of the planet. You never know. But they went out and their heart was not lifted up to God. But you know what? They probably enjoyed it as well. There's certain general blessings that people have access to, like rain, like the sun, even like a marriage, food, shelter, various other things like this are general blessings of God. And do you know what Jesus is pointing out here? Jesus is pointing out in verses 17 through 19 that his disciples had received the blessing, but they had not received the special blessing. That's what they were forgetting. That's what they were not understanding, was the special blessing that was directed to his disciples of understanding the why behind the what. That's what I wanted to really dig into tonight, is the special blessing that comes from a Christian remembering and understanding the blessing of Jesus Christ. Because there were approximately 4,000 people, plus the disciples, who received the same provision. And I'm sure it was delicious. I'm not much a fan of fish myself. Whole grain bread, probably. You know, I'm not sure I'd be that much into that. But if you haven't eaten for 3 days, I'm sure it was pretty tasty. And those 4,000 people and the disciples were able to see the power of God. They were able to not only see it, but experience it and experience their power, its power in their physical bodies. And we know that this was a great blessing because the Pharisees then desired it. The Pharisees came forth and said, whoa, boy, we hear there's some interesting, exciting stuff going on. We want a sign. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why did this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. This was a blessing, make no mistake, and the Pharisees wanted in. But both the 4,000 and the Pharisees were missing out on what was really going on. Now, what was really going on, like I said, was Jesus wanted to feed these people. They were going to faint if they didn't receive provision. But Jesus also wanted them to understand. Jesus wanted them to know. Jesus wanted them to see the spiritual blessing, not just the physical. And his disciples had kind of missed it. Now, I've been in that place before. I think you guys have as well. In that place where you're so focused on the things of this world that you're missing what God's trying to teach you. And that can happen sometimes in times of blessing as well. Sometimes God's blessing to us, if we are not fully seeking him and seeking why we're receiving this blessing, what purpose he wants us to utilize that blessing for, it can be a curse. That blessing can turn to a curse because we have not used it for God's purpose. All you have to think about is the servant who received the one talent. Boy, that must have looked like a blessing. This is a lot of potential usefulness. And it was a cursing to him. He ended up in outer darkness because he did not use it as God wanted him to use it. And Jesus intended this bread, these bread and these fishes, to feed the 4,000, but also to spiritually feed his disciples. He wanted them to take away a lesson. And what was the lesson that he wanted them to take away? Well, he wanted them to take away, first of all, of course, the power of God. The power of God. Most of the miracles of Jesus Christ, this was an essential element. We have the Word of God now. We have the Word of God. We see it lived out in our lives. But many cases back then, these are people who didn't have the New Testament. And so when Jesus came unto them and said, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he backed it up. He backed it up with power. He backed it up with great works. And you know what? He gave the people who were around him no excuse. They had no excuse for not believing in him. When they come before the judgment seat of Christ at the last days, they will not be able to say, I didn't know. If they heard, they had the opportunity, and if they rejected it, that's on them. But what we see here is, first of all, he wanted to show them his power, but second of all, that there was a specific lesson. Because there was a specific lesson, we see this put forth more in John, related to bread. Related to bread. Jesus wanted to teach about being the bread of life. Jesus wanted to teach them about the bread that comes from heaven, as opposed to the bread that, even the blessed bread that he had blessed, that had gone out in a miraculous way to teach everybody. He wanted his disciples to learn something else, using the metaphor of bread. Jesus loved to use these analogies. We see him sitting by a well, talking to the Samaritan woman. Guess what? He knew that she was going to come for water, and he was going to use water as an analogy so that she could understand it. He wanted to use bread here as an analogy. He said, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, I think you can interpret this in a variety of different ways. You can either you believe that, and I think actually it's probably referring to both of these things. You could talk about it simply being the leaven being what came immediately before the Pharisees coming forth to seek a sign. We know Herod wanted signs. He wanted to see some interesting thing. And he was telling the disciples, beware of those who seek a sign. Beware of those who simply want some interesting thing and are not actually interested in hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But I think that there was a deeper point. This is used elsewhere in Scripture. I think there was a deeper point specifically about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were those who were focused solely on externals. They're focused only on this world. And they had dead men's bones inside their heart. Inside, their inside life was filthy. And their externals, that was a focus of all their energy, was clean. They were filled with hypocrisy. And Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, avoid that. But do you know what his disciples were focused on? Well, in a sense, they were kind of already letting the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod invade their bread a little bit. Because what they were focused on were the things that they could touch, the things that they could handle. And so they thought, oh, Jesus being a little passive aggressive again. It's because we don't have any bread. Yeah, this is just his way of kind of putting the needle in because we didn't bring any bread. And what do we see from Jesus? Listen, look at this reaction. Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I broke the five loaves, and he goes down, don't you remember what happened? Don't you remember that I've got no need of physical bread? Don't you remember that I've got no need? Of course, he was physical. He was human. He had a need for physical bread. But don't you know by this point that just because you don't have bread on the boat doesn't mean that we can't be fed? Don't you know by now that just because there's 4,000 people around us and we got only a few loaves and only a few fishes, that I can't feed all of them? Or rather, God's power working through me can feed all of them? Don't you know by now? Don't you understand? He was speaking to their carnality. He was speaking to their understanding, because their understanding had been solely, oh, God provided some bread, and their focus stayed on the level of the bread. They didn't get to the deeper message about Jesus Christ being the bread of life, about Jesus Christ's power to provide sustaining life, life that cannot come from bread, that cannot come from water, that spiritual life to each one of them, to each of the people who were hearing his words. They had not penetrated to that, and they had therefore not remembered. In essence, where they were like the Israelites throughout the Old Testament. I've always found it fairly remarkable that so many times the Israelites were very forgetful. Did you bring us out to starve in the middle of the desert? God just parted the waters. You don't think he can bring you bread? So many times, God's done some great miracle. God's made such great provision. But we're going to make our own gods and go back to Egypt. So many times, you go to Judges, you see the same thing. God brings up a great judge. He rescues the people from their enemies. And as soon as the enemies are gone, they forget about God. And they go into the same thing again. They fall into the same trap again. In the same way, and that's because I think it's safe to say that for many of the children of Israel, their relationship with God was solely on this level of provider of earthly substance. When you're forgetting God that easily, it's because that's what you're caring about. That's what you're caring about is, where's my next meal going to be? Where's my next exciting thing for my eyes going to be? Where's my next friendship going to be? Where's my next this going to be? Where's my next satiation of the desires of my body going to be? Or perhaps on a slightly higher level, of the desires of my emotional life going to be? Where's that going to come? Well, guess what? When that happens, when that's our focus, when we are carnal, when our God is our belly, then what we're going to do is, as soon as that's gone, it's like a child with when you play peekaboo. As soon as they can't see the face, it's like it's gone. As soon as God's provision has been withdrawn a little bit, and we feel a little bit of hunger, we think, I'm going to go do something else, because that's our focus. Well, that can also be true of Christians. That can be true of each one of us. It's easy, like I said, to look back and judge the Israelites. It's easy to look back and look at these disciples and say, man, oh man, they're worried about bread on board this ship, and Jesus Christ has just fed 4,000 people with the loaves and the fishes? What in the world? How forgetful can they be? How silly can they be? And yet, where was their focus? And where is our focus? The reason I think that this is so essential is because when we are living our daily life, I talked most recently about the essential, the importance of watching and waiting, of looking towards the future, of knowing that the second coming could come at any time, that the day is drawing near to a close, that we only have a limited amount of time, and that we ought to be watching and waiting. Yet also, we see throughout Scripture, remember. And so it's also incumbent upon us to remember. It's a command to us. So it's an important part of our spiritual walk to remember, to be able to say, the Lord hath done great things for us, to be able to say, God has provided, to be able to say, God has met all my needs, to say, God has done great things in my life. That's essential. That's important. But do you know what? I think that even when that's our attitude, even when that's our understanding, it's possible for us to remember the wrong things, to not dig deeply enough. If somebody were to ask you, what has God provided to you in the last week? What has God done for you in the last week, in the last month, in the last year? What would you say? What would you say? First of all, if you can't think of something other than just the easy, well, God provided me another day of living. God provided me everything I've got. Oh, I mean, okay. What specifically has God provided for you? We know in general that God has provided you all the good things that you enjoy. But what specifically has God done for you? What specifically way has God worked miraculously in your life in ways that you were unable to do anything? Well, number one, if you haven't seen any of that, seen anything, well, then you need to ask yourself about how close you are to Jesus. Because do you know what? We're talking about levels here. There's going to be three groups that I talk about. There were two groups here, and there's a third group. The third group was who? It was the Pharisees. They didn't even receive the bread. They didn't even receive any fish. They had no interest in hearing from Jesus. They had no interest in a relationship with him. They were not close to him. So they didn't even receive any of that physical provision. They didn't receive anything. They didn't hear his words. They didn't see a sign. They didn't receive anything. You know what? If we're not seeing provision from God, then maybe we're not extending ourselves enough for God. Maybe we've gotten a little comfortable. Maybe we haven't really, and I say this to my shame, this is convicting to me, maybe we haven't extended ourselves on our finances in certain ways with our giving to the way we have to depend on God. Maybe we haven't extended into in certain areas of our time to where we feel inadequate to cover all of the things that we've taken on for God. And so we're not forced to cry out to him. Maybe we haven't extended ourselves into areas that are outside of our comfort zone in sharing the gospel to where we're able to say, that was not of me, that was of God. If we have not seen God's power in our life in specific areas, perhaps it's because we are not near Jesus. It's because we are not, haven't been willing to be near Jesus, even when it requires being 3 days without food. Even it requires doing things that may seem like they are outside of our earthly needs. So that's the first. But even in the second, the people that heard Jesus, even in the people that received things from Jesus, received the food, were able to have the strength to carry on, get home to their houses because of the food that was provided to them. There was something more that Jesus wanted for the disciples. He wanted them to understand. He wanted them to understand and hear and see and remember why he had done it. He wanted them to understand the spiritual feeding. He wanted them to receive the spiritual feeding from what he had done physically from these 4,000. Now, I'm sure that there probably were people in this 4,000 who believed on Jesus as a result of this. There probably were. But his disciples were a different category. And he wanted his disciples to understand. And that's why it was there's such a tone of sadness when he says, and do ye not remember? Because his disciples had stopped where the other people had. Oh boy, we saw something interesting today. We got some food today out of just a few loaves and a few fishes. Boy, this was fascinating. Okay, well, on we go, onto a ship. We're going somewhere else. Oh no, we forgot bread. And that was it. I would challenge each one of us, and I think this was convicting to me when I prepared for this sermon. If someone were to ask you again, as I said, the question, what has God provided in your life in the last week, in the last month, in the last year? Would your answer be primarily bread? Would your answer be primarily fish? Would your answer be primarily a new job? Would your answer be primarily a restoration of some broken relationship? Now, each of those things, I believe, can very much be provision from God. And they're a great blessing when we have things like that. Healing is another one. What has God done in your life? Well, God healed me. I had a problem. The doctors didn't know what was going on. God healed me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Healing is something that God, Jesus, delights in, and it's something that we can be very grateful for. But you know what? Jesus wants us to receive something more. Because do you know what? There's a blessing that the people who didn't know Jesus, who weren't his disciples, were not capable of receiving. That was something that Jesus wanted his disciples to receive and that he wants us as his disciples, if we continue in his words, that he wants us to receive. And it's something deeper. It's the deeper blessing, the deeper provision that a father gives to his children. And it's to know Jesus Christ. That Jesus said, I will make myself manifest. I will manifest myself to them. That's what Jesus wanted for his disciples. He wanted to manifest himself to them. Not as simply a person who's capable of doing interesting things with bread. Because do you know what? There were a lot of people. Do you know the Pharisees didn't receive this miracle? They wanted to see the sign. Do you know what they did have? They had bread. They probably had fish. These Pharisees got bread and fish just like the 4,000 did. They didn't see a sign. They wanted to see something interesting, but they got bread and fish. Their physical needs were taken care of, but they didn't know Jesus. They didn't get to know him and didn't understand him. And that's the greater blessing that Jesus wants to provide for each one of us. If we love him, if we keep his commandments, he loves us and he manifests himself to us. And often he manifests himself in his provision to us. Now, any time that he manifests himself to us, that is a great provision. That's the greatest provision. It's the greatest thing we could ever hope to have. But often, the provision itself is great, but it's the manifestation of Jesus Christ that he wants us to see. He wants to see us to see the spiritual provision that he's making, even in the midst of a physical provision. When he brings us into a trial, we know that he wants to teach us something. It's the same thing as when he blesses us. He wants to teach us something. And often it's something a lot deeper than just God supplies needs. Often it's something deeper than simply every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Often it's something deeper than that. Jesus had a deeper message here about the bread of the Pharisees. And he was talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees. He wasn't talking about physical bread. He had a spiritual message that he wanted them to understand as a result of the great miracle that he had done. He wanted them to get a greater understanding of him and his work in the world, and they did not understand and they did not remember. Well, each one of us has a great opportunity because God has done great things for us. God has done great things for this body. I was talking to somebody today, somebody who was visiting, and I was kind of going through and giving him a little tour of the church building, and it was just a reminder of the great things that God has done for this body in providing this building, providing this ministry. I, as the person here who's been here the longest, now since my mom isn't here right now, providing all of you, guess what? God has done great things for us. I can witness, I can stand up here and witness and say, God has done great things for me individually. He has done great things for me, not simply in provision, in, again, giving, bringing me to a college and a law school, giving me a career and a job that were that are great blessings that bring me not simply provision, but bring me joy. Not simply in that way, but in many spiritual ways. In allowing me to see his faithfulness, even in the details of these everyday situations, in showing me, teaching me humility in certain areas of provision, and teaching me faith and trust and hope in various situations in which he's provided. And yet I know that there have been times in which I have received provision and stopped at the provision. I've received provision. I've been grateful. God, thank you for providing this, whatever it is, to me. I was worried, you know, I have some weird thing on my foot, and it went away. Thanks, Lord, without stopping to figure out what God was trying to do. And so this is my challenge to each one of us. This is my challenge to us. If we're spending our time around Jesus, we're going to see great things. That's a given. We're going to experience amazing things that the world knows nothing of. Each one of us. Each one of us is going to see it. And if we're not seeing it, it's because we're not close enough to Jesus. It means that we're not extending ourselves enough for his kingdom. But when we see those great things, how are we analyzing them? Are we going deeper? Or are we just saying, thanks, Lord, for the provision. Boy, I got to get some bread today. That was great. Thanks for the bread, God. Thanks for the bread, and thanks for the interesting sign, another demonstration of your power. Now it's tomorrow. We got no bread and no understanding. What is in our memory? What do we remember? What do we talk about as well? We know, I feel like I say it in every sermon, but we conquer through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. Our testimony of what Jesus Christ is doing in our life is the most convincing part of our walk because it's the part of the walk that people can't argue with. It's the provision, the personal provision to God, by God to us that we are able to testify of. Because, and this I think, this is how I'll close, is this. There were 4,000 people, at least, who left this area with a story they were able to tell their children. They were able to tell other people's children. They were able to tell everybody. If something like this happened to me, boy, that'd be an interesting story. I saw a man who preached, and for 3 days we listened to him. And then he took a few small loaves and a few small fishes and he started dividing it and he divided it and he divided it and he divided it until there were many more leftovers than there had been food in the first place, and 4,000 people got fed. Boy, that'd be an amazing story. But Jesus didn't want the disciples to just have a story of seeing something. Jesus wanted a story, the disciples to have a greater understanding of him. Jesus wanted those disciples to have a greater lesson of related to this time. That's what Jesus wants for us. Jesus doesn't give us blessings purely to meet our physical needs. It's nice. He wants to meet our physical needs. When our physical needs are met, that comes from Jesus Christ, and we can be thankful for it. But there's something far more important. And so each one of us, I hope and pray, I pray this will be true for me, I pray it'll be true for each one of you, that each one of us will be looking on a daily basis for God's provision. Each one of us will be looking on a daily basis, what has God provided to me and for me? What has God provided through me? What has God done in my life that only God could do? And then go that next step. And why? Why did God do this? What is God teaching me out of this provision? How does God want me to use this provision to deepen my understanding, to deepen my knowledge of him, to use it as a testimony to others? What is God doing and why is he doing it? And most of all to remember, each one of us should have a store of springing water of testimony in our lives. It shouldn't be a stagnant pond. Somebody asks you, what has God done in your life? And you say, well, back in 1993, I'll tell you what, I did something amazing and God worked through it and it was fantastic. Well, then you might need to get some more water flowing in that pond. Each one of us on a weekly basis should be accumulating things and being able to share things of what God is doing miraculously in our lives. So each one of us, I pray that each one of us would remember, each one of us would understand, each one of us would see the great provision that God is making for us, making around us, making to people around us as well as to us individually, and that each one of us would be able to understand and remember why that is, that we might have the understanding and the experience of Jesus Christ that he wants us to have. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you for bringing each one of us here today. Lord, I thank you for the blessings that you give us. Lord, just this week, the blessing of new life. We think of all of the other blessings that you give us, of the weather and another day of life, of physical provision. Lord, we know these come from you and we're grateful for them. But Lord, I pray that each one of us this week would have a very specific and real experience of your spiritual power in our life. We know that that's the greatest blessing. That's a blessing that only comes to your children. Lord, that each one of us would have experience of your work at producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Lord, that we would be able to go to a world in which there is no power, in which there is no power spiritually to provide, and be able to boast of your provision, to boast in you, not of ourselves. Lord, we thank you for all of these blessings. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be examining them for your fingerprints. Lord, that we would understand. Lord, that we might glorify your name. We pray these things in your name. Amen.